Okay, so we're looking at curses, and we started another set of cursor examples. Okay, now these were done quite a while ago, and there's some real interesting things that are happening as far as style is concerned. As I mentioned last time, the exit, and I've got an exit when that is right at the beginning after the fetch. Okay, so I had a fetch here, and then I had an exit when. And it is considered better to not have that exit coming out of the middle. I also have an exit down here that's coming out of the middle. And that's not considered a good style to do it in. On the first one, where I've got the fetch, just without even looking at the logic of what the program has, that fetch and exit go together. If I put a fetch right before you went into the loop and put an exit, the fetch and exit at the bottom of the loop, then I would have my exit coming out at the bottom as opposed to coming out at the top or in the middle, okay? With the second one where I have the exit is, if this is true, then I am exiting out of the program and exiting out mid-end if, which is definitely not considered a good thing to do. But if you change that so that you had an else in there, then you could handle doing the thing that you want to do in the loop, which is adding to the loop count. If you had made that an if statement with an else, then you could have it handle it down below. Okay? So there's a bunch of different techniques that you can use to try to clean this up. And one of the things that I'm going to ask you to do is to take either this program or the next program and change it so that the exits don't come out mid-loop but come out at the bottom, okay, so that I don't have these embedded exits in it, okay? And then we will look over on Thursday, or actually we'll wait for next week, but I'll look over with the results that I have too, but I decided not to put off because I decided I wanted you to do it. Because this is kind of a realistic thing that you have to do sometimes when you encounter code like this, is to make those changes so that you don't have the exits in the wrong place. Okay. So, okay, this is not a particularly effective program in loads of ways. But it wasn't written to be an effective program. It was written to show a bunch of different techniques that you can use, okay? As opposed to how would I really write this program. So as I said, what we have up at the top is a table, which is like an array. And we started talking about that last time. So we've got a table, which is like an array, and it's indexed by a binary integer. And the binary integer that we're going to use is actually V loop count. Okay, so it will keep track of the count. So I start out by saying, okay, I've got a T manager table, and that is set up as a table. And it's a table of manager IDs. And the manager IDs are going to be taken as the type of manager ID that's on the employees table. Okay? So I've set up a table, and the line right below it tells me the name that I will give to each element in the table. Okay, so I have the manager ID table, and then a space, and then T manager ID table. P manager table is the name of the table. V manager ID table is the name of the individual record that I am looking at. Okay, and if you go down and look in the code, you see that B manager ID table has V loop count as its index. And so it is taking V manager ID table dependent on the V loop count, what is in V loop count. Okay, so V manager has to have something that tells it which one to take. Okay? So that's set up at the top. Then I said, okay, select C. I've got a cursor, which is called C employee 1. And I'm basically taking all of the manager IDs from employees and putting it in that table when I open the table. Okay. So if you look, up at the top, there are the manager IDs. So I'm putting all those manager IDs in the table. Okay, it's those manager IDs that are going into the table. So what I'm doing here is I am just filling the table. Okay, that's all I'm doing in this program is filling the table. And then at the end, at the bottom, I am running through and showing everything in the table just to kind of verify that I've done it. So at the bottom, I'm saying from I equal 1 to the count of how many things are in the V manager ID table. So I put all of those in. Count is going to tell me how many. And at the bottom, I'm just putting out a series of lines that show what I put in there. Just kind of, this isn't really part of the program that would go on. This is just to kind of find out that I really did it right. Okay, so it's to show me. And so I'm saying DBMS, the output line, V manager ID table modified by I.
What does DBMS do?
Puts out that line on your screen. The one that you have to have the set server on and off for. So you had to say set server on at the beginning. And if you say set server on, then you can use the DBMS line, which is kind of like just writing on the screen. Okay? But is not usually used on a regular basis. Okay, there's not a lot of writing out lists of thousands of things on the screen. Okay. So this is, it's more of a, something I can do if I want to show something temporarily. It's not considered part of what you do on a regular basis. So I'm saying put out DBMS output put line V manager ID table, which is the thing up there, and the one that I is pointing to. And I is running from 1 to the count in the table. So it will run through every record in the table and put out what's in there so that I'm getting basically a list of what I put in the table. Okay? So I'm starting out, and I have the cursor has all of them. But I don't want all of them in the table. So I've got some processing here that is going to put only some of them into the table. And so, in fact, when I come down here to that for statement, I'm only going to see the ones that got put in the table. And what I'm looking to put in the table is one of each. I want unique. So again, if I look back up here at the original, I've got 7839, for example. Records 3, 4, 5 all have 7839. I only want to put 7839 in the table once. I want to put the unique manager IDs. So in the table, I'm going to put the 7902. And then the 7698. And then the 7839. And then I'll skip down. 7698 is a duplicate, so that doesn't go in. Then I'll put the 7505 in. So I'm putting in the unique ones. Okay, I'm putting in the unique ones. So that I end up with a table that has all of the manager IDs in it, but only has them once. Okay, so that's what I'm trying to do. Questions? Okay, so down here I have two kinds of loops. I have the outer loop, which is the one that is doing the fetch. And the outer loop is reading through all of the records in my cursor. Okay, so all of those IDs that I showed you just now that we looked at are in the cursor. Because the cursor has no where or anything else. It just says select manage ID from employees. So the cursor is going to have all of the manager IDs. And every time I do a fetch, it will get another one. So the fetch is getting another one of them. Okay, so I do the fetch. And the way I did it here is I immediately say exit when not found. Okay, and as I said, that's not considered good code style. Okay. So then I say, all right, fetch, exit when not found. That means when I have handled everything in the cursor, I will exit. Then I said, okay, V found flag equals false. So I've set up a flag. And you do this lots of times in all programming languages if you want to be able to check and see if something happened. Okay, so I'm saying the V found flag equals false. And if I find a match, then I'm going to change that found flag to true. So it's just an easy way of keeping track if I found something or did something. So then I'm starting out V loop count at 1. Okay, so I'm saying while V loop count is less than or equal to manager ID table count. Okay, well right now the manager ID table count is 0 because I haven't put anything in it. Okay, so I am going to not do this loop. I'm just going to come down here and drop out of the loop. And here's the end loop. So I'm dropping out of the loop. And I'm saying, if the found flag equals false, which it does because I didn't change it, then put the vManager ID into the table. So I'm taking and putting the vManager ID into the table. And I'm increasing the count by 1. So I'm putting it in the next slot in the table. So I am just taking it and putting the first record into the next slot in the table. Okay? So the first record goes through like that. Then I end that if, I end the loop. And I go back and I fetch the next one. Okay? And if it's nothing there, I exit. I reset the found flag to false to make sure it's false. I reset the loop count to 1 because the loop count is controlling this loop. So now I've got V loop count is 1 and the count in the table is 1. So I go in. And I say, okay, if the vManager ID, which is what I just took in with the fetch, if vManager ID equals the vManager ID table that loop count is pointing to, which would then be 1, then I found it. That means that it's already in the table. And if it's already in the table, I want to just set the flag to true and exit out of the loop. Okay? If it's not already in the table, then I am going to add one to loop count, and I'll keep looping through here for all the ones in the table. And eventually, the V loop count is going to no longer be less than or equal to. Well, on the next record, I had a 1 there and a 1 there. When I add one, it becomes 2 and 1, so I don't go in the loop again. I drop out, and if the found flag is false, which it is because I didn't find a match, then I move the manager ID to the table. Okay. So the net result of what I did there is, if you look at up here, if you look at the table, first one got moved in automatically because there was nothing to compare to. So the first one just gets automatically put there. The next one got put in here. Then the next one would get put in. Then when I went back to that loop on the fourth one, that one is already in. So I don't put it in again.
Skips it.
Yes, because the flag got set to true, and I only put something in the table if the flag is false.
What was the flag checking for? Identical manager IDs?
Yeah. It's looking. And so when I read that fourth one, it looks in the table, and it compares to the first thing in the table, not a match. Compares to the second thing in the table, not a match. Compares to the third thing in the table, got a match.
So
it sets it to true. Okay, because it found a match. So it sets it to true. And when we go down and look back at the code, setting it to true means if found flag equals false, then put it in the table. If found flag doesn't equal false, I don't put it in the table. So I only put it if found flag is false. So in this loop, if I find a match, I set the found flag to true and I get out. And then down here, I say, okay, if the found flag is false, put it in the table. If the found flag is not false, don't put it in the table. So I end up with a table of unique manager IDs. And are there easier ways to do this? Of course there are. But then I wouldn't have got to show all the different kinds of loops within loops and all the interesting things. Yeah?
I was just going to ask about the thumb flag thing. Is that something that's just like pre-coded, or do you have to code it to like...
It's just a variable that I set up for my purposes.
So there really is no found flag. I think he's trying to see if that's like an actual thing SQL does.
I can do this in any language. I have just defined a variable called found flag. So I've got up there at the top a variable called found flag. And I don't quite know why I made it Boolean, but anyway. That's right. True, false. I didn't have to do that.
We got to show off a Boolean.
Huh? You got to
show
up. So found flag is up there and it's been defined. So it's now set up in an area in memory. And by making it Boolean, if I compare, Boolean is true false. So if I ask, is the found flag equal to false? Now I didn't have to make that Boolean. I could have made it a big char and put in the letter F. And then I could have checked for the letter F. Or I could have checked for the letter X. I can check for anything.
So Boolean means true or false?
Yes.
Okay. I think a Boolean would be the easiest way. I think that was the easiest way to do it.
Well, obviously I liked it.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you're using it for the example.
Probably. So... But Boolean can be, as I said, a flag can be just an area that I set up that I want to know whether something happened or didn't happen. And so I can set it up, I can make it a bear care too, and I can put a TF in it or a YN for yes, no. or any other comment. If I have yes, no, it may be, I can have Y, N, or M in it. But I, it's just a thing that I can check. And so what I did is I'm checking here. I set it to false before I start checking. And if I find a match, I change it to true. If I don't find a match, I leave it false. But if I find a match, that means it's already in the table, so I don't want to put it again, so I set it to true. Then I come down here when I'm ready to put things in the table and say, if the found flag equals false, put it in the table. If the found flag is true, don't put it in the table. Okay? So, that's how I'm using the flag. Okay? It just... And as I said, there's a load of ways to write this. I just wrote it in a way that I was doing some different things. And back when I took these courses, and then as I said, I did refresher courses but didn't change the notes lots of times, they were not as fussy about not exiting out in the middle as style has become. And so this was a style that I was, you know, that I was doing and they were doing, and so I was kind of mimicking their style. But it's not a particularly good way of doing it. But I decided that it would be more beneficial actually for you to go ahead and change it. So that's one of the assignments I'm going to ask, is that you go in and take this code and make it different, such that you exit at the bottom. Okay, so that's what this did. Okay? And if it finds a match, so I'm looking for, is the B manager ID, which came in the fetch, equal to the table, the one in the table that B loop count is pointing to. And I'm starting B loop count out of one, so it will point to the first one. And then every time I go through this while loop, if I don't exit, I end up adding the V-loop count. So, I mean, the exit is kind of a neat thing. It's just that you're not supposed to do it anymore. But the exit is kind of a neat thing because what it's doing is saying, if I find it, get out, and then anything I put below won't get done because you got out already. Okay? But, as I said, stylistically, you don't want to do this anymore. Because if you show your work and you've got a bunch of these kinds of things in it, you're not going to get hired. So, okay, I'm not going to get hired. That's okay, I'm not looking for another job. So, you know, you're going to fix that, and the way you can fix it, one of the ways you can consider fixing that is with an else. Okay? But you're going to have to fix it. And you can also have double conditions in your while, just like you can in anything. I can have double conditions in my while. And so I can also have checked that if the match was found, I don't want to go through this again. So I could even put a double condition on my while that said while VLOOP count is less than and found flag equals true or whatever. I mean, I can fiddle around with that such that I won't do it if it's already been found. I won't do the comparison. So, and I don't want to go there. So you can figure it out. Okay, so at the end of the loop, and I've got two loops going on here. I've got the inner and the outer loop. And the inner loop is totally about finding a match. It's about checking for the match. And the outer loop is about stepping through the cursor.
ask you something.
Wait a minute. Stepping has two P's, right?
This is not a spelling class.
I've said many times I flunked fifth grade spelling and it's been downhill from there.
I'm going to ask, this is middle school Monday. Do we have class Tuesday?
No. Oh, yes, we have class Tuesday. I'm sorry, I thought you were asking about Monday.
Yeah,
this Monday doesn't get laid up.
I thought it would.
Until the end of the semester. So during finals week, the Monday is still a class, and the final for the Monday classes is on December 23rd.
What the hell?
Yeah, right. That was kind of the general reaction. I was at a meeting yesterday of department chairs and coordinators and everything, and we're all sitting there and saying, what? Why are we doing this?
Yeah, let me know, since there's no class tomorrow, Monday and Wednesday is usually linked.
That's right. But Wednesday we still have to be here.
No, I understand that.
And we have to go to inspiring meetings.
No, but usually if they take one from Monday and Wednesday, they usually take the next one from Tuesday and Thursday. This one was weird. They're taking two in a row.
Well, no. There's been Monday. We lost Monday at the beginning of the semester.
Then we lost Tuesday.
Then we lost Tuesday already. Wednesday we're losing this week because of the meetings.
We're losing Wednesday. But
Thursday and Friday we use for Thanksgiving. Lose for Thanksgiving.
Oh, we lose it Thursday. You're right.
So they now have the problem of they got two Mondays being lost. And they can't move it to the Wednesday because they grabbed the Wednesday for inspiring meetings. And so
that's why. Okay, makes sense now.
The 23rd is going to be a final, day of finals, if you have Monday finals.
Anyway?
Huh?
When does the semester end anyway?
After the 23rd.
Oh, really? Oh, damn.
23rd is the last day for the semester for you guys. We still have to correct. So I will be giving a final on that Monday that I will suggest tactfully the people pass in before the final is due.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, you're supposed to before Monday. Usually it's like a week or two, right?
Yeah. So it would be good if it got passed in early. Okay. Throughout this, there are comments that you should take a look at that kind of explain what I was doing in these. Okay, the next one. Okay, so here's the results, actually. That four statement that went through and printed out all the manager IDs, those are the results. And you can see that they're all unique. So those are the results. And all of them are unique. The 7839 is only in there once. It's not in there multiple times. Okay, so the second one makes the table and then uses the table. Okay? So in this one, I go through the same business up till here. Okay? From here down to here is the same as the first one. I was simply filling the table. Okay, so this is the same as the first one. Okay. And then on the bottom, what I was doing was doing some processing that was using the table. Okay, so I'm doing some processing using the table in the one further down. So, I started out and I've got two cursors now. And the second cursor is saying select C employee 2, cursor C employee 2 is select employee ID and salary from the employees. And I'm selecting them for an update. Now, the reason I use the for the update is down here when I actually do the update, I say we're current of the table, the cursor. Okay? So what I'm doing there is I'm telling it that I'm doing this for an update, which means that if you are working with Oracle and a load of people can be accessing it because you've got it out on the server and you've got a load of people that can have access to it, what the update does is put hold on the one that you, record that you're currently working on. So other people can't mess it up. Okay, so it kind of puts a hold on that. And then down here, when I do the update, I'm saying update for the current one that is being held and being manipulated. So I'm saying we're current of, which means take and update the current one. Okay. In order to use current of, I need to have the update of up at the top. So this one comes down and it opens a second cursor, so I've got two cursors going on here. And on this one, I am looking for the flag being found again. So now I'm looking for the B employee ID equals the thing in the table. Up above, I was filling the table, so I was playing around with B manager ID. Now I'm looking at the employee ID, and I'm saying, is the B employee ID in the table? If it is, then I set the flag to true. Okay, so what I've got is the table has all of my managers in it. Okay, so an employee that is not a manager is not going to show up in that table. I've got other employees that aren't managers, and they're not going to show up in the table. So if I find them in the employee table, then I come down here and say, if found flag equals true, they get a 10% raise. If you're not a manager, you only get a 2% raise. Okay. So there I'm looking to determine their raise. I'm looking to see if the employee ID is in the table. If it's in the table, that means they're a manager. If they're a manager, they get a 10% raise. If they're not in the table, they're an employee, and an employee gets a 2% raise. Okay. And so I go through. If I find a match, I set it to true. And actually, this is the one I want you to fix because it's got multiple loops in it. This is, if I find a match, I set it to true. If I don't, an exit. If I don't, I add one to the loop count and go through, and I keep doing that. And eventually, I am no longer going to have a count that tells me to keep doing it, so I'll get out. Okay? But if I find it, I immediately get out. I exit, and then I drop down at the bottom of the loop and say, if the found flag is true, do this raise, otherwise do that raise. Then do an update. So I will do an update. When that loop ends, I go back up and fetch the next employee. And I go through for the next employee. Okay. Questions. I'm really debating whether to do the third or fourth or wait until Thursday.
Why?
Just because if you look through one and two and make sure you understand one and two, then three and four are going to make more sense because they get more complicated.
Yeah. So, you know what you previously already had?
Huh?
Okay, it's more complicated than what we've already done?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I'm thinking that maybe I will leave 3 and 4 because I've got something else I can do right now. And we'll leave 3 and 4 and come back to those on Thursday rather than doing the other stuff on Thursday. It's all cursor stuff anyway. But if you really go through 1 and 2 and make sure you understand it, then 3 and 4 are going to make more sense. So I think that's the way I've kind of decided to do it. Talk about indecisive.
Hey, you're the professor, I'm just a student, so.
No, you're not just a student.
Thank you.
So if we come over here, and if I don't get more homework from you, I'll dispute the fact that you're a student. So, anyway. Okay, so what I want to do is look at these examples that are up here. And those examples are some kind of other ways of doing a cursor that are fairly straightforward. So I think we will look at those and see how that goes. So examples we're going over in class. And the first one is the pay program. And I didn't really mean to tell it to save it. I meant to tell it to open it. So this one has got a cursor where I am putting multiple tables together. Okay, you can have a cursor for each table, which I did in the examples we looked at last Thursday. I had a cursor for each table, I remember, and I was doing multiple. Would somebody look like they remember? We had multiple. Okay. Here I am doing a cursor and I'm combining, as I said to you before, the more I can do in the cursor, then the less records I have in the cursor, and the more specific the records are in the cursor, which means that I've got less processing to do. And so on this one, I am combining two tables together. So I said, take pay data 1 and pay transaction 1, and combine them with pay data info equals pay trans ID number. I'm sorry, I meant info ID number. So I'm combining the two on the ID numbers. So it is at that point going through and putting the two tables together and getting the list of information. So they're going to have pay data 1, and if there's transactions, let's say these are in a one-to-many relationship, okay? The pay data 1 has one record per ID, and pay tran can have many records per ID. So these are, let's say, in a one-to-many relationship, okay? And so it will combine them, and so I will get multiple records for each ID if there are multiple transactions. If there's only one transaction, then I'll only get one record for each ID. Okay. So I'm opening, I'm doing a fetch, I'm ending the loop, and I'm closing. Okay, and so this time I've got the fetch outside the loop, which is the best way of doing it. So I've got it outside, and then inside I write the stuff out, and then I do another fetch. So I'm doing the fetches inside the loop. Okay. So this combining is being done here. And it would be a lot more code if I had to go in and write all the if statements and matches and everything to get the matching that I'm getting by putting it inside the cursor. Okay. And notice when I fetched them, I only did the fetch on VNAME and VHours. I'm matching on ID. So I'm matching on the IDs on the things, but I'm only pulling out the name from payday to one and the hours worked from pay tran one. Okay, and I'm pulling those out and writing them up. If I have multiple transactions per ID or per person, then obviously I could have a loop in there where I accumulated totals too. Yeah.
So I see you have pay data one dot name, pay train one dot hours work. Is that doing the same thing from doing?
No.
So what is that?
Because if there is the potential, and there isn't really in this case, but let's drop out for a minute and look at the ID. The ID appears on both tables.
Oh, okay.
So since it appears on both tables, yeah. I have to tell it which table. The name and the hours worked don't appear on two tables. They appear on separate tables. But by putting that in there, sometimes you add clarity.
Okay.
They're not required. They're only required if the data is on both tables and therefore it gets confused about what you want. And the name wouldn't be on both tables and the transaction wouldn't have the name... The pay data one wouldn't have hours worked, and pay tran one wouldn't have the name. So those aren't necessary.
Just for clarity, though, I get it.
Okay, so the next one. Is. Opening them as two separate curses. Okay? So I've got now pay info cursor is select the ID and the name from pay data one and order by ID number. And pay tran cursor is select hours worked from pay tran one where the ID is equal to the ID and order by ID number. Okay, so this is much more the thing we looked at last week. Where I am, if you look down here, I'm taking in a fetch from pay info, so I'm taking that. So that's giving me the ID and the name, okay? And then I go down here, okay, so I'm getting the ID and the name here. Then I go down and I say open pay tran. Okay, so I fetch the pay info, now I'm getting the transactions. And I'm only getting the transactions that go with that ID number. Okay, so I'm only getting the transactions that go with that ID number. And I ordered them to make life easy. And so the ID numbers match. I've only got the transactions that go with it. So I'm going to go through here and do some processing with matching transactions. So I'm getting the ID number and the transactions. Yeah. Okay, questions. And again, by doing the limiting in the cursor, I'm only getting IDs that match. So if it's person 111, I'm only gonna get transactions for person 111. And I've got two while loops. Both while loops have the pay fetch of a record right above them. Okay. Before I go into the second one, I set the total to zero so that I can accumulate the hours worked in there, and it will start out fresh for each employee. Okay. I put it out. And then I just put it out in the DBMS line, and then I fetch the next one. When I'm done, with the loop, I finished all the transactions for that person. I close the pay tran. I then get the next custom pay person, the next employee, and bring it up, and then go and get the transactions for them. So this is very similar to the one that we spent a lot of time on Thursday. Questions?
Yeah,
episode has been very thrill-packed tonight.
Glad to hear it. And I'm not even done.
Oh, wow. I love this series. They just don't make television like this anymore.
Actually, I'm looking at this one. Oh, that's Petro, too. I was saying that looked like the same one. But I apparently there's some minor change in there, because we looked at Pay 1.
How old is this code? Like, when did you actually write this?
This stuff, a year or two ago. The stuff in the thing, I wrote more than that. But I wrote this a year or two ago. I'm trying to figure out what it is that I did differently here, and I don't see it, so if anybody finds it, that's good. Okay, then the next one is the data layout for a student thing, and so I got a student file coming up, and I just talked about the data that was in it. So I have a table that is major student, and it has the majors and the grades. And then I had a student one, and then I had a credits. So I had three tables going on, and those are the layouts of the three tables. So then I went into, first of all, here's a script to create a donor, or a script to create anything. Okay, so I just have the script. And this script has the inserts in it, and so I just went in and did the create the table. But as I said to you, I think in retrospect, it's easier to have the create, just do the create, and then have the accepts in there so that you can accept the data and have the user type it in that way. Because even when I do it this way, I've got a lot of commas and a lot of quotes that I can mess up on. But if you put in the accept statement to put in the program with the insert that we looked at a week or so ago, it really makes life a lot easier.
Just a minute, put it in.
Because then you just have to type the data in. You have to get the commas and the quotes right when you're writing the program to do the insert. But once they're right, then it's just a matter of the user typing in the data and not worrying about commas and quotes. And so it makes life a lot easier. Okay. So then I've got donor cursor 1. And this one I've got the having on. Okay. So essentially what I'm saying is, in these examples, is that you can get as complex as you want to in the cursor. And you can really have a very, any select that you could write as a select can be put into the cursor. And so I can go through and come up with the select. So in this one I'm saying select stake and contact sum by year goal. Okay, so remember, if I list a field up here, it has to be in the group by. Okay, I can't list a field up there that's not in the group by. Oracle won't allow you to do it. There are some databases that will allow you to do that, but Oracle won't. So when I say select stake contact sum year goal from donor, and then I group by stake contact, and then the having is after the groups have been formed. Okay, remember, the where is while you're forming the groups. It eliminates records while you're forming the groups. And the having eliminates groups. So once I've got the groups put together, and the groups are stay, contact, and sum year goal, I'm now saying I want only those groups that have a sum year goal that is greater than the average year goal in the donor table. So I'm going to the donor table and pulling out and saying I want the sum that's greater than the average in the whole table. Yeah. Was that a raised hand?
I was kind of like, did I really ask that question? I think I kind of know. I'm just trying to think of, because you brought up the cursor, so, yeah, I see the cursor of a subquery, and I was just thinking in my head, I was like, so, can I do it? Never mind, dumb question. I just had a long night last night, just keep going.
Okay, whatever. So, anyway, I am grouping, and then I'm saying I only want groups where the sum year goal is greater than the average year goal from the whole table, okay? And so then I do the open, the fetch, the while, put it things out, and close, and I'm done. Okay, the next one, two. Okay, this one I'm actually only adding a little bit. Where I did a select. So I selected something and actually did a select that wasn't in the cursor. So I had a cursor that used donor, and then I also did a select average year goal and did that separately. So that was just to show that I could actually do that if I wanted to print it out. Then the third one. Okay, is where I got into this kind of stuff. So I said at this point, cursor is that I'm selecting a lot of stuff. So I'm saying select name, state, year, goal, contact into those four places. Where the contact is in, select contact from donor where state equals Rhode Island. Or the contact is in, select contact from donor. And so I went through all of this stuff and came up with a very specific amount of records that I could then use. Okay. And then the last one is a decode. And I didn't estimate time right, so we'll go back and look at number three again in a minute. So this one is a decode where I'm saying select name, city, year, goal, decode the city. If it's Seekonk, add 100 to the year goal, etc. So I'm doing all of that, which includes actual doing processing that I'm doing inside the cursor. And I am calling the result of this decode new goal because the comma there indicates that what's coming is another field. And the other field has got the alias of new goal, but it is the results of the decode. So year goal is adding 100 to it and getting new goal if it is Seekonk. And so then I'm doing a fetch of all these, the name, the city, the year goal, and the new goal, and putting them into my work areas. And then I am just showing them off, showing them, putting them up. Questions? And these are basically just to show you how strong the cursor can be. I mean, the cursor, essentially you go to PLSQL because you want to be able to do something. And in this particular case, I'm really not doing anything that I wasn't doing in the cursor. I'm just showing it out. If I wanted to, however, I could have done more processing. And asked your statements and done other things. But in fact, there's no real value that I've gotten out of doing a cursor like that. Yeah.
You have two fetches, one before the while and one after.
Yeah. one at the bottom.
Or one before you close them out.
Right, right.
So you're going in.
So I'm doing my first fetch to get the first whatever record it is.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And then getting all the other fetches with the bottom one.
I'm awake this way.
Uh-huh.
I feel it on that. It's like I feel like I have to look at everything twice. Okay.
Questions? Okay. As I said, I didn't estimate well, so we're going to go back and quickly look at the beginnings of problem three. I'm still back in my backyard worrying about my trees, so I'm not estimating right. So let's go back to that notes and handouts. And another set of cursor examples. And number three. Okay, and we'll finish up number three next time, but I don't think we'll make it through it today. And I keep losing it. Come on. Third version of the program, that's it. Okay, so do you remember when we talked first about cursors, what using a for loop does for you with cursors? Anybody remember?
I don't know what a for loop does, but I don't remember.
Okay. Okay, this version of the program uses a cursor for loop, which processes rows in an explicit cursor defined in the declare. The for loop opens the cursor, fetches a row for each iteration of the loop, closes the cursor, and determines the automatic processing. Okay? So essentially, and I'm looking for a good sentence that tells. Okay, that's the sentence I was looking for. There's no open, close, or fetch statements in the code. Okay, so when you're using a for loop, it automates that. And it doesn't do the open to fill the cursor. It doesn't do the fetch to step through it. It does the fetch automatically. When it loops back, it automatically does it. So the for opens, and then it steps through following the rules of the for loop, which keeps sending it back. And then it doesn't have to close. When the for loop is done, it closes. So all that gets automated when I have the for loop going on. So if you go back and look at this example, okay, I've got the for statement there, but there's no open statement that is going in and opening the cursor. There's no close statement that's closing the cursor, and there's no fetch. Okay? The rest of the things are all there, but it eliminates all of those. So I still have my cursor that says select manager ID from employees, and I still have the next cursor that says select employee ID and salary from employees for update. So, and I still go through the two. So I have the beginning part up here, which is where I am filling the paper. But notice again, there's no for in it. I go through and I say for the employee data 1 in C employee 1. So I go through and I'm going through the cursor and I am going to, it defines this. Okay, it has defined the employee data as the individual records in here, and it automatically steps through those. So it's actually done the definition, okay? And it is stepping through and doing that. So the four comes up. There is no fetch. It just does the loop. There's no place in here where I'm fetching the records. It just is, every time it goes back to the four, it fetches another record. So it's automated that. The four loop automates that. So it didn't open when the four actually got executed. It's the same as open. When the four is done, it's the same as close. And every time it goes back to the for loop to see if it should do it again, it's doing an automated fetch. Okay? So it is doing all of that for you. Now, what they want you to do when you are doing the for statement, however, is to always refer to, when you have manager ID, you actually refer to the record by saying V employee data 1. So you're saying V employee data 1 dot manager ID, V employee ID table. But it is always going to be referring to it and telling what it's at. Is that somebody knocking on the door? I thought I heard a knock. Okay. So I want you to go through this and kind of notice the differences. Again, the employee data 2 is in there. And so it's going back in and referring to the record that it has in the for statement, okay, and saying this thing is in the record. And so they require that you write record name dot field name, okay? And so you have to do that. So go through this. We will go through it more on Thursday. And the last one will also go through on Thursday, which is kind of a different approach to taking it, to doing it. And that way, I'm going to call it quits at this point. We have coming in the employee people from a variety of companies coming in to talk about their jobs and their careers and all that. And it's happening now at 11 and again at 12:30. So, again, I would strongly suggest that if you find the time, you can come to one of those. They're alum that are now working in the field, have been for a long time. Some of them are, one of them is doing a lot with web stuff, one is doing a lot with databases. So it's worthwhile coming to if you can come at either 11 or 12:30. And I'm done.